Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
What happened to the Mets mascot? He got fired.
They apologized.
No, he's out.
He was just giving the TK salute.
That's right. But he should be out.
That was brilliant. I think he should be promoted and given a raise.
Yes. By the way, here's the thing that is 100% true. Nobody knows who this guy is or this woman is. Nobody knows because they're not allowed to speak.
Right.
They can say they fired this boy or girl, and he or she could be back this afternoon because you don't know.
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
We are live at Chatter, and we have signage.
Oh, yeah.
We have signs right in front of the restaurant. We have signs on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest, block and a half, two blocks inside the District of Columbia line. And these signs are good.
Nice signs.
These signs are good. Chris Sliz is here. Gary Braun is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. Nigel is running the board. Wilbon will join us later. Many people have tweeted out this sign, including you, that
I have.
And people want proof of life.
Yeah, people were wondering if it had been photoshopped in, but I can attest it is formally there. Michael and I stopped to gaze in wonderment at it this morning together. There's a traffic cop out there, I think, directing traffic due to a lot of people stopping.
A lot of rubbernecking.
I didn't think the sign would be good. The sign is very good.
I like the font on it.
It's typewriter font.
I've rarely seen you this happen.
The sign makes me so, after all this wait, because you want to rebrand.
Right.
I mean, you want to make the case that it's completely different. The food is better. The wine is better. The beer is better. We're open for breakfast. We have a nice crowd here on a Monday morning.
Thank you for coming. Nice crowd.
Yeah, big crowd.
We open at about 8 o'clock for breakfast. But the sign, I was upset not having the sign.
You were a little upset.
I remember before the sign was in there.
It makes me very, very happy. Let's start with the biggest story in sports. Golden State wins again. I made it through a half, and that's all I made it through. And when I woke up this morning for the second time in a row in this series, I was stunned at the final score. I mean, the first game, I know I went on the air and I said if there was a game that Cleveland was going to steal, it was going to be the first game because both teams were going to be rusty. That would be the game in the 90s. That wasn't in the 90s. Golden State scored 120 or something like that. I wake up this morning. It's a three-point game at the half. Golden State ends up winning by 19
points. 132. They get
132. If you're Cleveland and you get 113, you think you're going to win. You think you're going to win. 132 points for the Warriors. And in combination, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson go 28 for 51. You cannot beat them if they do that. You can't do it. It's mathematically not possible because they're going to get such a high percentage of threes. LeBron James had a triple-double. He had 29 points. He had 14 assists. He had 11 points. Don't tell me he didn't play great. 11 boards. Don't tell me he didn't play great because he then accounted for like most of their baskets one way or another. And Steph Curry went out and had 32, 10, and 11.
Crazy stat about LeBron. I couldn't believe this when they said it in game one and then they restated it last night. So I'm going to take it as fact here that prior to this series, he had never had a double-double in the first half of a playoff game. He's now had two in two games.
He's doing all
boards,
he can do.
Points and boards in game one, points and assists last night. And he looked good last night.
He looked
LeBron
very
James.
Good.
I mean, it's
by the way, in
him.
The first quarter, Kevin Love had 100 points.
Yeah.
Yep. And they were in it the whole way. And then, again, I make half, and then I wake up.
Well, they won a three-point game at half, but not 67-64.
That's not the formula.
It's too many points.
In both of the first two games, they appear to be willing to run it up and down. And I just don't think that it's possible to beat Golden State
because
that way.
During the volume of shots. They thought of themselves as a three-point shooting team during the season. And now they don't have a coach who can change that because their coach is LeBron James.
Yep.
Tyronn Lue can't change anything. Nobody's going to actually listen to him. LeBron James is running the show. There's a statistic here, and I don't want to get carried away. Golden State's 29-1 in their last 30 games, and that includes 14 playoff games.
Yep.
Presumably against higher quality competition.
Well, against playoff teams.
They're 29-1. Chris, is it over?
Yes. I know.
I don't want to say
there's
that.
A belief that Cleveland is going to win Game Three, which I certainly.
I think so.
But I don't. I can't. What Cleveland needs to do is that they have no positive. I don't think they have any positive story, which is the way that they win is if Golden State misses shots. If Golden State plays anywhere near, and I mean anywhere near their capability,
they win.
I just don't understand how you could possibly stop them. The shots that Curry and Durant made last night, I mean, literally every 2 seconds, my wife was watching the game with me. I was like, oh my. I mean, the shots that they're
making
are...
Well, Michael will tell you, in the middle of dinner, I went, oh!
I mean...
Oh, my! And that was the one where Durant was falling down.
He's seven feet tall.
Right.
He's dribbling it from 30 feet out.
Yeah, Curry pulling up from the hash mark.
Yeah. I mean, some of the shots... I just don't understand. Now, look, LeBron and Kyrie are both amazing shot makers, too. Kyrie didn't play very well. He had a couple... But I just don't... When you watch them play, I don't understand how you can be... I know this is a dumb point, but I do not understand how you can be that good at basketball. That having played my whole life, I don't understand. It's like watching a machine. I mean, Durant, three. Klay Thompson misses, ball comes back to him, makes a three. Curry is, to Gary's point, one from the hash mark, one from 34, 35 feet
got
in the fourth quarter.
Michael, remember that? He got fouled. He was like 2 steps inside the line.
I think 10 or 12 free throws in the first quarter. I mean, you mentioned how well the three of those guys shot. He only shot
seven of 17.
He was 4 for 11 from three. Curry.
I don't think it's over, though. Which is not to say that I think Cleveland's going to win, although I fully expect him to win game three. But these playoff games, man, you get on the road and Clark and former Wizards Sean Livingston, JaVale McGee, it's like those guys don't imprint the game in Cleveland, and the vanishing, the invisible J.R. Smith, who's done nothing, throws in 5 3-pointers when they're at home and has an 18-point game, and guys like Shumpert and Korver have more of an impact at home. So I expect Cleveland to win, and then you've got a game in game four that really the series
that's the critical game.
They've got nothing for. I'm just looking at their bench. I mean, they've got nothing from.
They've done nothing, but
J.R. Smith had zero again.
He's a role player.
Tristan Thompson,
he's had zero two.
Tristan Thompson had 8 and 4, which is not.
Tristan Thompson's
probably not
the one
enough
that has surprised me.
He's
that's
a good
guy
player.
Who, you know, defense travels. You know,
right.
Offense doesn't travel. So,
but I mean, like they've got, you know, they've got a lot of old guys on that team.
Yeah,
Darren Williams, Richard Jefferson, Korver is not young. You know, I mean, they just don't have a lot. When you've got the, when you're paying those guys the money you're paying them, you don't have a lot of money for the other guys.
I don't know that you have to have young guys when you have 3 days in between games.
You
right.
don't.
I mean, this
I'm
is
just
the,
saying
these
past
are
their
the,
prime.
Here's
I'm not
what
saying
I would
they're
say.
Tired.
These are the easiest games to play because you have a lot of time to rest.
Yeah.
So if one team is decisively better than the other, then that's big news. I believe that the winner of this series will be considered a great team. At this point, I think we should spend a little bit of time on Durant in this regard. Kevin Durant, I remember what I say, as I say often. I remember what I say. And I felt that Kevin Durant was wrong and was mean to Russell Westbrook by not telling him that he was going to leave that team, that Russell Westbrook had to find out the way everybody else did through media accounts. I think it's unforgivable the way he treated Westbrook, but let us look at what
I think that's called commying him in today's parlance.
Giving him a comey.
Yeah, he comeyed him.
So let's look at what has happened. Russell Westbrook went out and said, I'll show him I'll become the MVP. And Russell Westbrook got all of the publicity and all of the accolades all season long, and Durant was hurt for a significant part of the season. But the last laugh will belong to Kevin Durant because he's going to get a ring. I mean, if they win, Russell Westbrook will never ever get a ring he's on. No, he's going to have to do what LeBron did first and Durant did second and go find himself a team. But don't you feel that is the sort of that will be the satisfaction for Durant, even though people will say it's not his, they'll say it's not his team and he joined a great team, but look at his numbers.
Well, and justifies
look what
the
he's
means.
Doing.
Yeah. And if he continues to play anywhere near this level, he is the lock to be the MVP.
Yeah, it's not like
he's just along
for the ride.
He's going to be the MVP
That's
of the
right.
series.
Look
if
at
he's,
his numbers.
He's had, he had 38 and 33. I mean,
I just checked this out on Donbass. I'm actually a little bit surprised to see it. Golden State, 3-point favorite for game three.
I don't think
three.
That's right. I mean, I think Cleveland will win the game.
They could have scored. I watched the whole second half. They could have scored 150 easily. If they had kept all their guys in and run it at them, they could have scored.
Well, I don't understand why Cleveland.
It's stunning to me. I mean, they had 105 with 9 minutes left in the third quarter, or 9 minutes left in the game. I mean, it's mind-boggling how many points they scored.
They're at like 100 at the end of three quarters in both these games, and even when Cleveland has played them closely, it just doesn't seem to be a formula. I mean, you're not going to outscore them.
No.
You know, even the end of the first quarter, which was tight. Well, I guess they were down 40-34, but it was, you know, with a few seconds left, it's 34.
Cleveland had been ahead, and yeah. Cleveland was in the game.
Yeah.
Cleveland was in the game, you know.
Yeah, yeah, well, they were in the game LeBron at halftime.
LeBron is – LeBron – if I was – LeBron can get to the rim
at will.
Every single time.
Yes.
When he's
so
fresh.
In the first
– By the way, there was one play, if you notice this. He put his elbow in Klay Thompson's throat and just pushed him aside and dunked the ball.
Yeah. I mean
– He never gets caught. He takes six steps – He kills people.
He's a train.
But he scores. As they like to say, he scores the basketball. Were you surprised as I was? I was stunned to learn that Steve Kerr was coaching.
Yes.
Yeah.
Stunned.
I thought he was done for the whole series.
And looked great.
I thought he was done for his career.
Yeah.
Looked completely comfort and at ease.
Spinal fluid. Yeah, would you like that?
Good. No. Not for myself.
They botched an operation on this guy. And you know, I didn't think he would come back because my feeling was if he came back and then at halftime or after the game said, I can't do this anymore, then you take away that optimism of maybe our coach gets back. I think that hurts it too.
And the crowd clearly reacted to it. I mean, people went bananas when he walked out. I mean, like, there was a real lift there. Which I think is weird for a coach, but I do think they like him. They rally behind him. They were going to win the game either way. I mean, if Mike Brown was out there, I think they would have won the game too. But
well, they won the first one with Mike Brown.
Right.
Mike Brown knows what he's doing.
Right.
You know, Mike Brown, LeBron, and he don't get along, and he hates Cleveland. But LeBron knows what. But Mike Brown knows what he's doing.
I just looked this up because I was like, how could LeBron still be so good? He's still only 32 years old.
Yeah, but it's 14
years.
He's
played a 32. Million games.
14 years of 40 minutes a game and a lot of play.
Well, he's only 3 years older than Steph.
He tied.
I find that odd. For whatever reason, it's the difference between not going to college and going to college for 4 years.
Right.
I mean, yeah. But it's remarkable.
I think Curry went three.
Three.
I don't think he went four.
He left after destroying Georgetown in the
Not
NCAA
that you
tournament.
Bear a grudge.
No, I mean, I barely remember.
Not
it,
that you can.
Tied Magic last night, LeBron did, with his seventh career finals triple-double. The next closest player has two.
He's been to the finals 7 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, and will be an eighth.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
Right? I mean,
yeah. Maybe ninth.
Yeah, yeah, no. I was just surprised that Kerr.
Maybe that's what he meant when he said not five, not six, not seven.
Just
trips
finals.
To the finals.
Well, I don't know how one person can win it by himself. But
can't.
Last year, in a similar situation, they were down 2-0.
Yes, they were.
And they ended up winning 4-3.
Okay,
and they ended up winning the last
team.
Two. Their last two shots at Golden State, they won both those.
Okay,
games.
But the similar situation is the 2-0. The dissimilar situation is that Harrison Barnes is now Kevin Durant. I mean, that's like the difference between Gary here and me. You know, I mean, that's a big difference. Like, Gary's Durant in that situation.
Right.
Big talent difference.
Are you saying you're Harrison Barnes?
Yes.
Should
I call myself Harry Barnes, but yeah.
Should the Warriors win that game three and win it decisively like these first two, then you have to start having the ridiculous conversation about, you know, greatest all-time teams.
Well, if they went through the playoffs, it would be very hard not to say that in the same way that you have to say if Tom Brady's in the conversation with Joe Montana and John Unitas and people like that, it would be impossible for you to look at this Golden State team coming out of a 73 win and losing in the finals and then doing if they were to
and
do
going
that
31-1
you would just
over
say,
a 32 game
well, I think
stretch.
It'd be fair to say well who's better?
Yeah.
Well who's better? Cuz you could be looking at four Hall of Famers there. It's conceivable.
You're certainly looking at two. Right? I mean, that's Curry and Durant are a guarantee.
I think by the end of their careers, you could look at Draymond Green and the versatility, and Klay Thompson is the quickest shot you've ever seen, and you could say they're Hall of Famer. It's conceivable.
Yep. Klay Thompson, that's a pretty good fourth option.
Yeah.
When he's your fourth best player.
How about Iguodala? I mean,
he's a primetime player, too.
Off the bench.
All right, we will take a break. We will continue this discussion. Michael Wilbon will join us. He will be on his way to the East from... San Francisco. He will go to Cleveland from there, and he will be on the show when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All right. This is the Harry's Day ad. The Father's Day Harry's
Happy
ad.
Harry's Day.
Father's Day is just around the corner. Dads are impossible to shop for and difficult to find something that feels special but that your dad will actually use. Always waiting until the last minute. You don't have to do that. Fortunately, our friends over at Harry's have a special offer that you're going to love, and Dad will too. You can get $5 off one of their shave sets, including a limited edition Father's Day set at harrys.com/ Tony K. We all use Harry's here. We're all happy to use Harry's here. It's not that we're going to give ringing endorsements because we do this on a daily basis, but we all use this, and we understand that you would like it too. You
Harry should send some product for the littles when you do the gift giving. We could throw some razors around.
Nice. Harry should send us. Yeah.
Throw some blades.
Yeah, because we do gives. We give gifts until we run out of gifts.
Right.
Which is coming soon.
Well, we give gifts until we don't give gifts anymore.
Little That's inside exactly intel, though. You got to get here early for the early bird gets the worm.
Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price. There are five German crafted blades with flex hinge and a lubricating strip. It's 100% quality guarantee. There's a full refund if you're not happy. It's $2 a blade or less, which is half the price of the leading five-blade razor brand. Shave sets start. Come on, that's hard to
That's a lot of alliteration.
Seashells by the seashore.
Shave sets start. You write better copy. It's just $15, not to mention the $5 off when you go to harrys.com/TonyK. You get a razor handle, moisturizing shave gel, and three of Harry's five-blade precision-engineered razors. Harry's limited edition Father's Day shave set comes with a storm gray razor handle, a chrome razor stand, you get the stand, foaming shave gel, three replacement blades, and a travel cover. Plus, it comes in a sleek giftable box, and we've determined that giftable is not really a word. Why don't we say it comes in a sleek gift box with the option to add custom engraving and a personalized card for free. Go to harrys.com/TonyK right now to redeem a special offer for fans of this high-quality podcast. Harry's will give you $5 off one of their shave sets. It's for a limited time only. Act now. That is harrys.com/TonyK to get $5 off and help support this show. I don't want us to seem like we're mendicants. I mean, we're not on the corner. We're not right off the beltway holding a sign, "We'll do a radio show for food."
We're not hocking underpants.
Come on.
Googling mendicants. Hang on.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Wake up and wipe my eyes. I gotta get up, I don't know why. I don't wanna leave you now, but I'm giving it all for you, my baby. Coffee black and egg on toast. Why choose that? God only knows. This boss is chewing my tail, but I'm giving it all for you. It's gonna be
this
a
is
beautiful
called
day,
Beautiful Day. And the email reads like this: My name is Haroon Rashid. I'm from Halifax, England. I'm a loyal listener of your show for quite some time now. I would absolutely freak out if I got featured on the show. Please find attached one of my singles for my upcoming debut album. I hope it brings a smile to your faces. P.S. Mr. Tony, you've inspired me to start my own garden patch. This is lovely.
It's great. And it sounds, and I mean this in the best possible way, as a slam, it sounds like a Folgers commercial.
Yeah, or a McDonald's ad. It sounds great.
Yeah. It's commercial quality.
Yeah, love
music.
It.
Love it.
Michael Wilbon joins us now. He is about to embark from California to Ohio for games 3 and 4. And I will just start with this. This is twice in a row now that this has been very close at the half, could go either way. And when the game is over, it's 20 plus. It's 20 plus. I think Golden State is better. I don't think they are this much better. But, Mike, maybe they are this much better.
Well, Tony, that's my sort of takeaway as I get ready to head east.
Yeah.
Right now, is that maybe they're this much better. Maybe the people who I thought were extremists, and while Jeff Van Gundy's no extremist, he knows what the hell he's talking about. I didn't think the guys, and Jeff said five games out here, and I kind of discount it. Wherever you are, the people, of course, look at their team and not, you know, much more than the other team, and they think, oh, yeah, well, here's what's going to happen. And there were so many people that I thought were extremists saying 4 and 5 games. And I'm like,
yes.
LeBron James took you people 6 games with no teammates 2 years ago. Now, I know that Kevin Durant's on the team, but LeBron James is still on the other team, and nobody ever says Kevin Durant's the best player in the world. They say LeBron James is the best player in the world. If LeBron James is the best player in the world, he better not get swept. If LeBron James is comparable in any way to Michael Jeffrey Jordan, LeBron James better not get swept. And so I have too much respect for LeBron to think he's going to get swept. But do I think that it could be start like last year's and go 3-1? Well, obviously right now it could.
Yeah.
It could. But, Tony, they don't have enough firepower if J.R. Smith's going to take 2 shots in a game. They don't have enough firepower against a defense this good to beat them. Because you've got to have more than LeBron James and Kyrie Irving. Because what it calls for LeBron and Kyrie to do, both of them, all the time, is be perfect.
Kevin Love had 27 points, Mike. Kevin Love scored the first 80 points of the game, it seemed. I mean, he had a lot of points.
Well, Kevin Love was early, but you talked. Look, it was 67-64 at halftime.
Yeah,
but they don't have any points late because the Warriors' defense is too good, and they're not allowing them anything. And their offense is too good, but the defense really. I mean, J.R. Smith can't get a shot. J.R. Smith is not bashful. Okay, he's not Russell Westbrook, but he's not bashful. He can put it up. Kyrie Irving missed a bunch of shots. He was 5 for 17.
Right.
If Kyrie and Kevin Love aren't both A plus, then the Cavaliers have no chance.
Well, I mean, I've said all along that I thought if Golden State shoots, no one can beat them, and obviously they shot last night. But there's another part to this, and I really think Cleveland is good, and you know, much better than everybody else. But if you give up in the 130s. In the 130s, you can't win. This is like a routine 132, isn't it? What are you doing?
Yeah, they gave up, 64 and 69. Tony, the score by quarter was 40 for the Warriors. In the second quarter, I think it was 27. And then 35 and 30.
It's just too much points.
But again, too much Tony, points. What was it that the people who were critical of Cleveland during the regular season specifically were critical of?
Defense.
The defense.
But you can play the greatest defense in the world, Mike. I mean, if Klay Thompson and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant are going to shoot 28 for 51.
Well, you can't let that happen. They can't shoot 28.
Well, how do you stop it? They're fast. They're good. Well, they pass so well. They do.
They do a lot of things well. They play better defense.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, this is what, you know, look. LeBron James, okay, he's the greatest player in the world, but Tony,
he is.
You know, he doesn't play defense like he did. You know, people talk about erosion and time and father time. We're seeing the beginnings of it, and if he doesn't play defense, he can still rev it up and have great defensive plays. He doesn't play consistently game-long, game-in, game-out defense like he did 3, 4, 5 years ago.
Well, he can't defend three guys, though, even if he could play defense.
When you watch this, I mean, afterwards, there was a brief clip of LeBron talking, assessing it, and he said, and he said it with a certain understatement, but it's what we all thought. He said they're different with Durant, and they are.
Yeah, I saw that. They are.
They're different.
They're better. Here's the difference. They're better.
Yes.
I mean, Harrison Barnes, Kevin Durant.
Right.
Last year, Harrison Barnes, I think, averaged like 9 points a game.
He stunk in the finals.
I mean, Durant had 38. Durant had an easy 38 in game one. And then last night he was the best defensive player on the floor.
Yeah, he is. He's great.
Well, there's a point. Late in the third, or maybe it was the fourth quarter, when Draymond Green picked up his fifth foul and somehow managed to not get a technical despite all his Rasheed Wallace-like reaction.
Oh, my gosh.
Mike Breen said, how about that? You know, Draymond picks up his fifth, leaves the game, Durant comes in. It's like, how's that for a trade-off?
They got four great players in their starting lineup.
They do.
And even on the night where Draymond only played, you know, was in foul trouble, and only played, 24 minutes, he goes for 12, 6, and 6. He had a better game than anybody on Cleveland except LeBron in 24 foul-plagued minutes.
It's interesting.
This is a situation to me where, look, again, let's go back to what this is. LeBron James now has to rally his team.
As he did last year.
Rally his team as he did last year.
He did. He did.
And as he did 2 years ago with no team.
Yes, he did.
If LeBron James, that may mean bullying his team. You know, the great players have to sometimes browbeat their teams. We see Tom Brady do this. Get in somebody's face, scream on the field. Peyton Manning, we've seen this. Michael Jordan, my God. I know of practice sessions where Michael Jordan threatened everybody on the team with death. You know, if they were down in a series, you know, I remember famously they were down 2-0 to a Knicks team that people thought was the best team in the league that year, and they won 4 straight. And this is what the great players, this is what Larry Bird did when his team was down. So LeBron's going to have to do that. Do they have enough? It doesn't look like it. I mean, Darren Williams hadn't made a shot yet.
Yeah,
Corver hadn't done anything yet.
No.
J.R. Smith hadn't done anything yet.
No.
So to answer your question, when I said LeBron is not what he was defensively, I mean that. But that's not why they're losing the series by a lopsided margin. The other guys haven't played yet.
No,
LeBron's going to have to get them to play.
I'm not a BPI guy on any stretch of the imagination, so I'm going to discount this nonsense that they put out on television this morning that Cleveland only has like a 38% chance of winning at home. That is insane. I don't even know why that's on the air. I think Cleveland will win game three. I think the critical game for them will be game four. But I do think they'll win game three. I do.
Yeah.
But if they don't, that's it.
The series is over.
That's it.
But if they don't, the series is over. Don't even, you know, I mean, I don't have to go back to Pebble. I'll go home.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 3-0. But, you know, a lot has to happen, Tony. I thought they were going to play, the first half played out the way I thought it would last night, except the score was too high. Here's what happens. When you get to the point where they've got 102, the Warriors have 102 points at the end of three.
It's just so many points.
Who does Cleveland have who can generate that firepower? Who do they have?
Well, you'd think that Love and Irving and LeBron, you'd think they could do that.
Well, the three of them could, but Kyrie, I'm not going to say he had no game. He had a better game in some ways. He had six assists. He was moving the ball. He was getting the rim, but the length bothered them. And they're not even playing a guy that I think they should play three times longer than they're playing him, JaVale McGee.
He played 2 minutes.
He's played 8 minutes in the series, and he has huge impact for the five and the three
Former Wizard.
He gives LeBron trouble around the rim. I mean, JaVale McGee, he's standing out there with people that you know are 6'10 and 6'11, and he seems like he's 5 inches taller than they are. Stand straight up.
That alley-oop last night was ridiculous.
Athleticism.
Ridiculous.
You wouldn't want him out there for 25 minutes because he would make
it crazy.
No.
But you know what? For 15, he just seems like, and maybe they didn't even need him for 15.
So
they put him out there for 5 minutes. It's amazing the contributions they get.
I was very surprised last night. I had been out all day. I'm very surprised. We were going to have dinner, and Sarah had come over, and Sarah said, Steve Kerr is coaching tonight. I said, what?
Yeah.
Steve Kerr is coaching tonight. Now, you know my feeling because we talked about this on the air. I don't think this is smart because if he leaves, that puts them in disarray. I'm sure you talked to him.
It doesn't put them in disarray at all. It doesn't put them in any disarray. It does not. It does not. It just doesn't. And we saw that already. When Steve Kerr left, they won 13 games in a row.
Were you surprised that he coached?
No, and there's no surprise because we're here. We're with him every day. No.
Right.
No, I mean, Mike Brown told me on camera Wednesday, that he thought that Steve would coach game one on Thursday.
Okay.
He told me that Wednesday afternoon at about, 2 o'clock Pacific time. And what happened was Steve had a setback Wednesday. But he said, we pretty much get sort of updates. You know, we get updates from Steve Kerr and from Mike Brown and from Steve himself. He's right there. He's not ducking anybody.
No, I just was surprised.
And he says, if I can string 2 days together, meaning in this case, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday morning, if I can string 2 days together, plus I'm going to give it a shot. And Mike Brown said he would go, if Steve started coaching last night and then felt bad at halftime, he would be fine coming out of the bullpen at the half.
Yeah.
So, no, there is no disruption. Now, they got a bump. They got a bump from seeing him there. And I had a couple of guys tell me that, sort of on camera. We got a huge bump. They love seeing him out there. They know the pain he's in. And so if coming out of game one, Tony, the one thing that concerned me last night about the game was not whether the Warriors would play because they were getting their guy back. They were getting Steve back, and he's beloved here. So they got to bump out of that, and that hurt Cleveland as well.
All right, in the days that you have off, did you play San Francisco? What have you been doing?
Yes.
Did you love it? It's great.
It's hard to describe. It's so awesome.
Yeah.
Just beautiful.
Yeah, that was real. What else do you do? Fancy dinner? What do you do?
Yep. A restaurant called Boulevard. It's one of my favorite. A restaurant called Seven Hills. Hills and Boulevard, two of the great restaurants in America.
Right.
And I hung out with my friends and some people that you know. John Barry set up one of those dinners and golf. John is like my concierge when I get to Northern California. I mean, John, we're at the point now where people don't necessarily automatically, the older owners know the name Rick Barry. I mean, Rick Barry's name here for people, over a certain age in San Francisco is still magic.
Well, he's won championships.
But, John. Yeah, he brought a first championship here. Yeah. But, John Barry, John's been in the league 13 years.
Right.
John has his own. John's mom lives in Napa Napa. Yeah. Or Sonoma, one or the other. And, John knows what he's doing on the restaurant scene in San Francisco. So wherever John Barry tells me I'm going.
You go.
That's where I'm going. Yeah, and Aldridge and I and Kelly Carter had another dinner one night at Boulevard. You know, my other Seven Hills, unbelievable. Boulevard, unbelievable. And so, yeah, you're in San Francisco. And these games start early enough where if you want to do a late one, you know, I had a late dinner at a place called Sauce where I got there at midnight and stayed there till 1:45 after a game, on a game night. And because you're done with the game and you can get back in the city around 10:30. And
you stay in San Francisco, right? You're not staying in Oakland.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I stay in San Francisco. Others, you know, people stay various places, Berkeley, at the Claremont. People stay in Oakland where the facility is right now. The practice facility is in Oakland also, downtown Oakland, a beautiful practice facility. But I stay in San Francisco. So,
yeah,
it's hard for me to leave San Francisco at any time, particularly when the sun is shining and it's 68 degrees.
So your best guess is you'll be back for one game in San Francisco at the moment. That's what you're looking at.
I certainly think we'll be back for game five a week from today on Monday.
Right. Yeah, I have to say, and I believe this with all my heart, that the winner of this series will be considered a great team, given these three in a row.
It should be.
But if Golden State goes through them like this in the second halves, they're one of the greatest teams ever. They are?
Yeah. I mean,
Cleveland's good.
If they somehow do 16, if they wind up doing the Moses add a faux, though.
That's better than 73 last year.
It's better than 72.
It is.
Three, yeah.
It is better.
73 and no title is not as good as faux.
No, it's just, I can't even bring myself to think that's possible. Honestly.
No, it's hard to think. I got too much respect for LeBron, but they got one game to get it right.
All right. All right, have a good time. We'll talk to you.
All right, Tone.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with news. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Whether football, basketball, or baseball is your sport of choice, you know that the key to winning is a strong roster. And great coaches know that having the right players comes from scouting in all the right places. Finding great talent for your business isn't any different. You can't find all the best candidates by posting your job on just one site. You need to post on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your position. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. And right now, listeners to this podcast can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a band called Shark Dad. This is a song from the newest EP called Almost Pink, which is available on June 3rd, so it's available already. And this email comes from Jeremy Essig. I discovered the show during the ESPN days in the early 2000s. Much to the chagrin of my parents, I passed on grad school to begin my career as a touring comedian. During the early hours of the morning as I awoke to drive from city to city, your show made that time after a late night of my own shows worthwhile. While much has changed in the last 15 years, your show has provided a constant companion drive after drive. It's also provided me with my own David Aldridge moment as Adam Ferrara, who I had the pleasure of working with, and I add parenthetically, I'm sure he has no memory of me, became a regular guest, or the time I was on a radio station in Indianapolis and I had to give up my microphone so Junior, who refused to make eye contact, could talk about the Final Four.
Right.
So he's in Shark
Dad. It was a mystery.
Shark Dad.
Shark Dad.
He's doing comedy in Baltimore, and he'll be here on June the 12th.
Oh, how about that?
What day of the week is June
the 12th? It's Monday, next week
next
from today.
Monday. Next Monday. Okay. Good. Jeremy Essig.
This sounds a lot like a band you've probably never listened to, but Sunvolt. Jay Farrar fronting Sunvolt. Yeah.
I know them.
I love them.
Michael, if people like Jeremy Essig or Haroon from England want to send in their music, how do they do it?
Please email jingles at tonykornheisershow.com.
By the way, we have a lovely sign here, a wooden sign.
Great
at this show
sign.
Stinks,
yeah.
Which we like.
Whatever happened
much.
To the Chad sign?
They were destroyed and sold for scrap metal.
Yep.
For the war effort.
Yep.
I mean, they seem to be gone now. Let's do the Johnny O thing, because you're wearing Johnny O today. I wore Johnny O yesterday when we played golf. Wore it all weekend, actually, to play golf. We are attempting to make this show a great partner with Johnny O more than other partners.
Well, that doesn't sound fair. We're attempting outfit the dads out there with some great gear.
Choose favorites.
We love all of our partners.
Yes.
We are currently in the middle of a Father's Day push with Johnny O. So if you go on their website, which you can get to the link through our website, TonyCornersTheShow.com, and you can use the promo code DRTONY.
Dr. Tony.
And Dr. Tony currently we'll get you 30%
off. 30% off. This is good clothing.
Just to clarify, that's Dr. Tony, right?
Dr. Tony.
So I saved upwards of $3,500 on my most recent order. So I mean, I like to buy in bulk.
I was talking to Gary Williams about this yesterday, and I'm convincing him that he's got to get the tweener, that this is going to change his life.
Just activate
your
tweener.
I mean, if he needs anything, you just let him know. I'm sure he knows my cell phone.
So go out and buy this stuff for your dad on Father's Day, or buy it for yourself. Because it's good.
Buy matching shirts.
Yeah.
Sounds cute.
That's right. Yeah. Well, no, that's...
When you guys play, do you wear matching shirts?
No.
Not intentionally.
There is nothing...
It's happened.
I don't want to say nothing, but I'm going to say nothing. There's almost nothing worse than mother-daughter dressing in the same thing and going out together. It's just, it's awful. Kim doesn't ever do that.
No.
How do you feel, where do you come down on dressing your multiple children in the same outfit? Tread carefully here.
I had a boy and a girl.
So it was never an issue?
No.
Well, I had twins.
That's different.
Not identical twins, and they would frequently be... They never dressed in matching outfits, but sometimes they would be in thematically very... Like a rugby shirt, you know, but one was red and one was blue.
We'll roll out matching outfits for our boys. And they're 4 years old.
I saw a matching outfit of you and one of your boys.
I'd go cute about up to the age of about 4 or 5. And then after that, no.
Yeah, Earth years.
I have 16 and 14.
So you've said
it's
no.
It's not strange at all.
You've said no.
We have done it, but I'm not. My wife is a big fan of it. She is a big fan of it.
Does she come from a big family herself?
She's the oldest of four.
And did she ever dress like
that? Oh, she probably tortured them,
gosh,
right?
Gosh, yes.
Well, she's
her
a coach.
Her mom made a bunch of her clothes, so they have like similar matching outfits. And no. Oh, yeah, a lot of old school pictures of that.
No, you can't have that.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
Just saying.
No. All right, Nigel, you have news.
I do indeed, and today's newscast is brought to us by Harry Barnes. That's right.
I love Harry Barnes.
There you go.
Didn't good guy. I'm the Harry Barnes of this show.
So if you're Harry Barnes and he's Durant, does that make me Eric Montross or something?
No.
You're Zaza Pachulia.
No. Okay, I'll take that. Jason Duffner wins the Memorial, a race of 4-stroke deficit, despite shooting a 77 on the final day, sinks a 30-foot par putt
on
the 18th.
I watched that. I said, whoa. Michael heard me say whoa on that because that was going to win the tournament. Had he missed that and had Ricky Fowler chipped in, there would have been a different circumstance there. But let me say this about Duffner, who is back to being fat. Do you remember when Duffner spent about a year really, really skinny and got a divorce?
It followed his divorce and his new sponsorship with Vineyard Vines. He was trying to get this new svelte look. Couldn't play with it.
Can't play. Now he's fat again. And this is like what we talk about. Like the best fat actor out there to me is Jonah Hill. Don't get too thin.
He's thin now.
Well, that's a mistake. That's a mistake. People love you when you're fat.
I'd go John Goodman, by the way.
Yeah, people love John Goodman. And he got thinner, obviously.
Yes.
But this is the first time since 1989 when Nick Faldo did it, the first time that a guy shot a 77 in the third round and won the tournament. The graph on his tournament is bizarre, utterly bizarre. He was 5 over on Saturday and 4 under on Sunday. That's craziness, right, Michael? You never thought he'd win that bet.
No, and what's truly crazy is that he's now doing a new breathing technique, which I'm just hoping is going to plague club golfers all this summer, where he now breathes out and in that immediate moment hits his putt. Because he plays with a 1-2 stroke, his long game is just a very simple one-plane swing. But there's always that old adage, if you're competing with someone, you always say, well, do you get to the...
Yeah, you inhale and hit, and
I just want to see people crippled by this swing thought when they get to the putting green.
What else do we have?
Phil Mickelson looks like he will not be playing in this year's U.S. Open.
He said he will not?
Yes.
He's never won the U.S. Open. It's the only major that has eluded him. And he's finished second 5 times.
And has said publicly, I really, really want to get that one before it's all done.
This is at Erin Hills. We have the great benefit here of having golf guy Michael Kornheiser, who has played Erin Hills. suited or not suited to Phil's game. He's doing this to watch his daughter graduate from high school.
That's right,
I'm not
Amanda.
Going to ever say that's a bad idea, but I would not be endorsing this one.
Can I just say this about that before Michael gets to the golf? Because he's also a private school aficionado.
Yeah.
I was just shocked that Mickelson's daughter goes to a school that's graduating that late in the year. I mean, I always thought, and maybe she goes to a public school, but I always thought certainly with private schools, sort of the more money you pay, the less they go.
Right.
Like most private schools in this area are already out.
Yep.
Right. If you can, if there was a school that cost you $100,000, your kid would never go.
Go like three months a year.
Never.
But even public schools, at least in Montgomery County, Maryland, where I live, I mean, they're out by then.
Out by the third.
They would have
weekend.
Graduated by then. It just seemed late.
Well, by the way, she's going to Brown. She must be a very good student. Yeah. It's said in the
class president.
She's going to Brown.
Yeah. So one thing I think is with that climate, they actually can go later into the summer versus what happens here in the Southeast and the Mid-Atlantic, where temperatures are such that it's you can't really keep kids in school because the cost becomes so prohibitive.
Right.
What's interesting is Jack Nicklaus said that he basically paid enough money at his kid's private school that he got them to change the graduation date
nice.
For all of his kids, because he's got like six kids.
Right. Who says money doesn't make you happy?
Yeah. So I look at Phil Mickelson's schedule. I think this says that he's going to give a big push to the British Open at Royal Birkdale, where he has now won the British Open, and he actually thinks he has a renewed chance to play well there. He played well at Birkdale back in 2008, I think, when Padraig Harrington won. And I think he also looks at Quail Hollow, the PGA Championship site, as something that suits him better than maybe this U.S. Open. This U.S. Open has four par fives that on paper can be over 600 yards.
Wow.
Traditionally, you'd think that might suit Phil because he's a wedge specialist, but that demands a tee shot in the fairway. There is fescue that lines every single hole here. He probably looks at this and says, I can't get around four rounds playing out of the rough right. to these tiny greens, and half of them have blind bunkers and blind tee shots into par threes. I think he looks at this and just says, the ups and downs, the toll on my body, I know I want to reframe the story. I want to get that goodwill, because this is the same daughter that was the pager baby back from 1999.
Oh. Yes.
He loves to reframe the narrative to something that suits him, and I think this is going to set up for a big summer push.
There you go. We've had that explained to us better than anybody could.
Note the use, just in common talk there, of fescue.
Yes.
It's outstanding.
Yes. Well, it's a fescue-laden
I like course. To play on the mix of Kentucky bluegrass and California sense.
Well, look at the greens. We have a beautiful bent grass putting surface, which the pros love. So just wait for this to look a little bit different than people expect, because the easy comparison will be, well, this is going to play just like Chambers.
No. No, it's not.
Well, I've seen videos where, like, the width of this table, or maybe, you know, 6 feet from the fairway, and you are in waist-high grass. I mean, your ball's lost.
Yeah. I know. So, I had that.
Yeah, if you're spraying it, it's going to be...
Apparently, there was a party in your neighborhood.
Yes.
I guess it was on Sunday night.
In the Barnaby Woods area.
Barnaby Woods, not to be confused with Barnaby Jones, which is a different area in your neighborhood. The woman who threw the party, and she rents this home, C. Nicole Mason, who I guess is a public speaker and an author.
She's upset.
She's very upset. The police were called. People filed
loud
complaints.
Noises.
Loud noises. There was a DJ at the party.
At what time?
This is about 10:30.
Nigel, were you in attendance? Sounds like your kind of party.
Authorities said they received several calls complaining about loud music. Now, D.C. police spokesman said an officer waited in his cruiser for 21 minutes after making initial contact, and nothing happened. So the police decided...
Yeah, this is being portrayed by the person who was actually arrested and charged as racial.
Yes, one police officer was white, and she described him as very unfriendly and somewhat hostile. The other officer there was an African-American. Mm. But regardless, at about 11 o'clock, as the police said, the music remained at the same volume, they arrested her and actually took her down to jail.
I will say one thing, and I don't know how this will be adjudicated, and I'm not going to take sides, but I think it was interesting in the story to read this on the bottom of the jump. Before the party, Mason said she distributed gift baskets to her immediate neighbors.
Yes.
Informing them of the party and inviting them to attend. The baskets held wine, chocolate, and earplugs. If you're going to put earplugs in there, you're setting it up.
Sort of trolling.
You're setting it up. So,
and I would say, if I'm in a party on a Saturday night.
I didn't hear it. I was long gone. But I'm also not close to it.
But yeah, a party on a Sunday night is much different than a party on a Friday or Saturday.
Sunday's the new Friday, though.
Well, this didn't happen Sunday night.
Didn't it? Oh, that was the 28th.
No. Oh, was that last week?
Yes.
But that was Sunday night of a Memorial holiday. Day weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right. So, I guess so. You know, I should calm down.
What else?
There's an interesting...
Can we get to the governor, the guy running
the governor, please? There's an interesting going on in the Virginia race for governor. The Democratic candidate, Ralph Northam...
Who is a medical doctor.
Yes.
Yeah.
A pediatric neurologist...
What does he know about humane letters?
Ben Carson is he a pediatric neurologist as well?
No, he's a neurosurgeon. Pediatric neurosurgeon.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Similar, but not the same.
He has repeatedly called President Trump a narcissistic maniac.
Well, I mean, you're nitpicking.
And as he says, we want to be medically correct, implying that this is actually his stated medical opinion of the mental well-being of the president.
The greatest part of this story is that his spokesperson says of this, he's now called the sitting president of the United States a narcissistic maniac, and he says, it says who Ralph is. Ralph is Ralph Northam. He doesn't say it in a mean way. It's not like it's over the top. What? What? Yeah. You're taking out television ads calling the president of the United States a narcissistic maniac, and you think that's not over the top? Really?
And he says it's part, this is what Turner says again, he says, it's part doctor, part Eastern Shore.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
What does that mean?
So, yeah. So,
well, where are you on this? You're a political expert. A narcissistic maniac?
Well, I'm not a psychologist, but... what I think he's doing here, the primary is June 13th. So the primary is coming up. This is to replace Terry McAuliffe.
Yeah.
Northam, who's the lieutenant governor, started out as the favorite. But Tom Perriello, who is a guy who was a member of Congress in the Charlottesville area for one term, has moved up and past Northam by running to his left,
ideologically. Absolutely.
So what you see here with Northam is, it's hard to get to the left of what you're calling the president, right? So I think that's why
we've entered Kathy Griffin territory.
So I think that's why you're seeing this now,
yeah,
because it's so close and because it's slipping from him.
What do you think is going to happen day before? What's he going to trot out?
Where do you do you go from narcissistic psychopath?
I mean, like, it's makes little Marco and Crooked Hillary seem like cute.
Everything else? Or
yeah, just I want to recommend to people to read Barry Zveluga's a piece on
Don't editorialize.
We'll talk about it.
That's not really news. That's an opinion.
Well, we can talk about that in Olga.
Very opinionated.
Because it's
Barry's here tomorrow, right?
Is Barry here tomorrow?
Barry is here
tomorrow. It's just a lovely story. We'll talk about it in a little bit. So let me get out of here. And let me just say that we will have Old Guy Radio when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here is the Omaha Steaks ad. Dads love steak. So do moms, by the way. Trying to find the perfect gift for Father's Day? Does your dad love to grill but hates the hassle and poor quality at the grocery store? Well, you can get him a fabulous package of Omaha steaks. I will read in just a second what you get, but I will commend this. We got, who sent it to us? Randall?
Yeah, Randall. I forget his last name. Oh, Randall sent
We're happy with this.
I just realized on Thursday.
Yeah, you could have had it.
I walked out.
It's still here. It's still here. We have
Randall,
it's
Randall still in the fridge. Hallett.
Randall Hallett. And we are deeply indebted and grateful to Randall Hallett for this.
Thank you very much.
Omaha Steaks is very, very good. I've cooked them. I like them. I endorse them. Right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to listeners of this high-quality podcast for Father's Day. It's an amazing deal. You're going to get 80% off Omaha Steaks Father's Day package. Here's what it gets. 2 tender, mild filet mignons, 2 bold, beefy top sirloins, 4 crispy chicken fried steaks, 4, it's hard to get all these adjectives to be different, 4 juicy boneless pork chops, 4 all beef Omaha steak burgers, 4 award winning, I guess they, you know, won the Pulitzer, 4 award winning gourmet jumbo Franks. That could be anybody named Frank, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, 4 made from scratch caramel apple tartlets, and 1 Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus you get 4 additional burgers free. The burgers are very good. They really are. Get this limited package for only $49.99 when you go to omahasteaks.com. You type Tony K in the search bar. You add Father's Day package to your cart. The offer is going to end because Father's Day is in a couple of weeks. Go to omahasteaks.com, type Tony K in the search bar, grab your dad, fire up the grill. Or in my case, grab my kid and fire up the grill, which he did last night.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a song that's been covered a lot. This is Jerry Jeff Walker, I think,
that's
with
right.
Mr. Bojangles. This isn't the nitty-gritty dirt band, Mr. Bojangles. This is the original Jerry Jeff Walker is from the Triple Cities area. I think he's from Endicott and not Binghamton, but it's possible he's from Binghamton. And this song is 45 years old, easy. For
it's
old
a lovely
radio.
Song.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
His version is better.
We believe so. We believe so. That's
his version. And you have a story?
Yes, apparently Jerry Jeff Walker was in jail in New Orleans.
He drinks a bit, as does Mr. Bojangles.
It was public drunkenness.
Yes.
And whilst he was in jail, there was a man in the jail named Mr. Bojangles.
Bill Robinson.
Who was telling people about stories about his dog. And was entertaining everyone, and then it sort of got grim when he talked about the dog. So they said, "Can you lighten up the mood?" So we'd start the tap dance for everyone. And here's how you have the song.
Yeah, what a charming stay in prison. That
Isn't
sounds
that lovely.
Like.
Yes.
From Leanne and Kevin Brady in Skillman, New Jersey, they sent a bottle. They didn't send
hand
them,
delivered.
Just hand delivered a bottle of Pinhook Bourbon. It says, "Congratulations on Chatter. We made a different choice from the list of no-nos. Not a plane, not a restaurant, but several racehorses. This is." One of the easiest ways to lose your fortune, several racehorses. This led to a crossover opportunity with a small batch bourbon. Please enjoy the bottle of Pinhook Bourbon. Each batch released is named after one of Bourbon Lane Racing's horses, so that must be the farm. This bottle is from the Bourbon Courage release. He is to date our most successful horse, having won more than $1 million before retiring to stud in Maryland. We are longtime fans. Before La Cheeserie, there was Mita Box. Thank you for all the entertainment.
Deep cut.
If you ever like to come to the races in Saratoga, we'd like to have you as our guest. Saratoga is beautiful. Everybody goes to Saratoga. They have a month-long run in August.
Yep.
And it culminates with the Travers. Is that the big race in Saratoga, the Travers? And everybody who goes up there, it's right near Albany, New York. Everybody falls deeply in love with Saratoga.
My aunt and uncle were big in horses for a time, and they had a beautiful home right on that main street in Saratoga.
Yeah.
It is a gorgeous
town. Parcells have roots up there,
yes.
I want to say.
Yes,
for some
he's
reason.
Got a home.
Yeah.
Parcells has that. So I don't know. We are facing rain today and rain in the first part of the week, Monday,
cool.
Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Cool temperatures.
But the weekend was beautiful.
That was gorgeous.
I mean, it was the first really beautiful weekend, and I went out and played golf Friday, Saturday, and Sunday and made a mistake. I'm now too old to play 3 days in a row because I played with Michael 3 days in a row, and Michael, I was good on Saturday, and I was awful yesterday. We played with Gary Williams and Jimmy Rays, and I was awful, just awful. I had no swing. I couldn't hit the ball. I took a rescue. Every time I took the rescue out of the rough, and it wasn't anywhere, it wasn't terribly deep. I just topped it each time. I was
How
terrible.
About your bunker play?
Terrible. I left it in.
You bladed everything.
Yeah, I put two balls in my pocket at some point. I just got out of the hole.
I counted more than two.
Why was I so bad?
Your takeaway
Too
was
much
very
Pilates.
Fast.
Yeah.
I would say this. You were in such a beautiful rhythm on Friday and Saturday, particularly with the driver.
Yes.
And I think you just got out of rhythm.
I was just...
That's all.
I was awful.
When you're in the bunker and no one can see you...
Pick it up.
And throw
but
it.
But everyone can see it.
No, I'm you just throw it.
Cameras out there.
Just do that all the time.
I was awful.
Winter and, rules.
And this is a bad thing, because now I'm so old that now I know that this is the only thing I like. If I don't do this, if I don't play golf...
That's all you got.
I have nothing.
Right. Yeah.
I have
you're
no
not playing
hobbies.
Pick up hoops sometimes.
I have no hobbies. The only thing I've come to do lately...
Well, this is a hobby. I mean, a hobby by definition is something you spend money to do. So this would be a hobby, right?
Yes, this and owning the restaurant podcast. Is a hobby. Yeah. But I've gotten Chessy now. I've reached the point, other people in the household have gotten Chessy with the Frisbees to drop the Frisbee as you throw the next Frisbee. I was never able to do that. All I got her to do was stand there with a Frisbee in her mouth as I threw yet another Frisbee. Ultimately, five Frisbees,
which
is all
I had. That's
going to
take a lot of money, Frisbee-wise.
She just stood there and ate all the Frisbees. Mm. So now she will do for me what she does for the others, which is drop the Frisbee as I throw another Frisbee. And this is...
Drop it at your feet, sort of reloading you?
Yes, yes. So if you carry two or three, you always have one in your hand and you can go. And she'll run like crazy, run into fences, run into trees. She loves to do this. It tires me out more than her, but it does... Michael, how tired does that dog get now?
The dog was panting for 4 hours last night while we were trying to have dinner, and she kept wanting to go outside.
And play more Frisbee.
More Frisbee. It was harder to train you to do this with the Frisbees than the dog.
Yeah.
Liz and I have been doing this for about 6 months, and at first, you know, she's 10 feet away, ready for the next one. Now she gets closer and closer to your feet, and eventually, she's still a puppy. Eventually, she'll just use one Frisbee and drop it right at your feet.
Yeah. So, and
it's this new game called Fetch.
But yeah, it's brand new. I think it might be in the Toy Hall of Fame at some point.
Has Chessy?
But she has also eaten the Frisbees beyond They are now, they're broken. They're totally broken.
You could go to Amazon and get more
frisbees. Well, Michael's going to do that and get us more frisbees.
Has the dog ground a path in the sod yet? Or did the sod work?
In the side, she's in the process of grinding a path. But in the front, it seems to be okay so far.
This rain won't help.
What about Pilates as another hobby?
How's that going?
Yeah,
I've
done it twice. I may do it one more time. But
yeah, third time's a charm, they always say.
Was the second time any better? Because the first time, it just...
No, I just...
What's the thing called? The retrograde?
No, it's called the reformer. It's named after the Dutch reformer from the
1600s. Did you get your height back yet?
No, because I haven't done anything to hang in such a way that I would get my height back.
No bat exercises?
Nothing.
CrossFit?
We can't do that. That's for kids.
I'm just throwing things out.
I've reached that bad point.
Croquet?
It's a bad point.
I think he's ready for SoulCycle.
I can't do that.
That's the worst. Don't do that.
I want to mention Barry's Verluga's piece in the paper today because it's on Tim Tebow. He went to Hagerstown where Tim Tebow played. And let us talk about this for a second. Nobody in the world doesn't like Tim Tebow. He's a very likable fellow. Everybody knows that he's extraordinarily religious, but he does not put it out there in a way that you would say, whoa, stop. This is a... No, he doesn't do that. He seems eminently sincere. He's very, very likable, but he can't make the majors. He's not good enough to make the majors. What do we think about what he's doing other than we root for him?
I mean, I root for him. I always sort of have. He's clearly not good enough to either be a professional football player or baseball player.
Well, he was a professional football player, consequential for a while, for a short time.
But I think it's really cool. He doesn't need the money, right? He's got a ton of dough, and he wants to do it. This is far, if you read Barry's piece, this is far from glorious, what Tim Tebow
is grinding.
These are bad bus rides in bad stadiums.
I mean, he's not...
He's low minors.
I think it's, you know, he has a passion.
This is not even the glamour
of
the baseball movie.
With a lot of guys who are spending their 20s and even into their early 30s kind of chasing the dream. I don't know why we would hold him to any different standard. I mean, if he's willing to... This is not Riddick Bowe joining the Marines.
Right.
I mean, you know, this is a guy who's like trying to do it. And is not afraid to put
playing
in the
with
work.
Kids much younger than him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And many of whom are real prospects.
Probably enhancing the lives of many of the people around him.
Well, the people. He's great. No, he's great. And I commend this.
I never understood the scorn with which he came under from some circles.
Nor did I.
Because
I liked him.
His own team.
Like he seems like a tremendously decent human being. For all the attention he's gotten for... I mean, he didn't...
Yeah.
I guess you could say that time he, like, ran shirtless. Remember, he's on the Jets, and he, like, ran shirtless, and it was, like, a big deal.
He likes the crowd.
Yeah.
He does like the crowd.
If
he was going to become something in the public eye, of a religious nature, you better like the crowd.
He was winning... He was on the way to winning a playoff game for Denver, when I say he was. He was the quarterback of that team. I'm not claiming he was in the games. But his own team was crushing him the entire time.
That's true.
Talking about how terrible he was.
True. If I was built like Tim Tebow, I would never wear a shirt in any setting. I mean...
Why? Why would you do it?
I mean, if you're... yeah.
No, you have
to... Take your shirt off during practice? I would take my shirt off walking on the street, in a meeting.
Yeah.
Selfies with the chatter sign.
Yeah.
Selfie with the chatter sign. I've done that.
Yeah. So the other day, I'm out with the dog. I am about to cross a street. There are stop signs. It's a four-way stop sign. And a guy pulls up in a Tesla, a gray Tesla. These are recognizable cars. Very pricey cars. They are electric cars, yes?
They are.
I don't know how far you can go on a charge, but in any case... We're standing there, and I don't want to go across because, you know, I wait, and I wave the guy on. He guns it. This is in residential neighborhood. He guns it, and I'm telling you that in four blocks, I think he's up to 50. And I just thought, arrest this guy. This is ridiculous. You cannot do this. It's a residential neighborhood, and he's blowing through these streets at about 50 miles an hour, and he gun that thing.
Did you get his license plate?
No, it was too fast.
You're good with that.
Yeah, it was too
Chris,
fast.
Chris, do you want to apologize?
I'm sorry. Two things in that. One, I learned this yesterday. The Tesla goes 0 to 60 faster than any other car on the market.
I mean,
Because it's electric, number one. Number two, you should be more like my wife, who screams at anyone in our neighborhood, I mean loud, who goes at all fast. She screams
this
at them.
This wasn't a normal acceleration. This guy gunned it. That's to show line, off. Yeah. This was showing off in a residential. What are you doing?
It's,
I mean,
ridiculous.
I looked at him. Well, are you kidding? But it's not like he could hear me because he was four blocks up the road at that point.
You should scream more.
I scream a lot. Michael can tell you. Michael became afraid of me at a very early age because I scream all the time.
I don't feel like you scream
much less now.
Have you mellowed?
No.
Although yes, yes, you
although
have
this
totally
bourbon could help.
Yeah.
By the middle
let's
of the
let's open
day.
It and find out.
So we'll watch the Nats.
I was going to ask you about, how about the Nats box score? Did you see the final box score?
Bullpen looks good.
Nats, 11 runs, 11 hits, 0 errors. A's 10-10-0. I thought of you when I saw that.
So they go up 3-1, and then Roark gives it back, and then it's 3-3, and then Zimmerman hits one out. 6-3, it's the end of the game.
In the ninth.
6-3
in the top of the ninth.
So then it gets to 6-4, and they take out Roark. Okay. And Glover gets in. And Glover gets one out, and you figure it's a four-out save. And now in the top of the ninth, it's 11-4 as both Michael A. Taylor and who else went out?
Wieters. Back
Matt
to back.
Wieters go. It's 11-4. The game is over. And Michael says to me right then and there, go.
I was upset that you keep Cota Glover to get the last three outs. If you look at what happened in the top of the ninth, you're keeping Cota Glover on the bench far too long for someone who's already got up for his entrance and for his closer mentality. Now, if it's if it was at the point a 4-3 game, 5-4, he can keep that energy going. But I think when you have that much of a cushion, it's hard for him to sustain that. And frankly, you had Sean Kelly, who could have used the work coming in sooner. You then look at the box.
He'll get some.
Yeah, he wanted the save, I think, is what he wanted. Right. And I look at what happened there, and I just say it was poorly managed by Dusty. They were lucky to get out of that. I think Dusty was probably trying to outmanage himself, looking forward to the Dodgers
saving
series
arm.
And saving arms. Yeah. But I just think you've established roles in the last 2 to 3 weeks. Protect those roles and let the people do what
Glover
they,
can't
what they
get anybody
do.
Out in the bottom of the ninth.
Four, can't gave
get
up five runs.
Anybody out. And they finally bring in Sean Kelly, who allows a grand slam, which we both thought, Michael and I, was the best thing that happened to the Nats.
Yeah.
Because
reset.
Now the bases are open, and now what do you need, two or do you need three outs?
You needed
two. There was one out at
you
that
needed
point.
Two at that time, and there's no threat of somebody on base making you nuts, and so he gets the save. But that was... I felt if they had lost that game, it would have been catastrophic. And Michael said, no, it just would have been another game.
To Michael's point, did you see Dusty's explanation after the game?
It's an American League game.
That's
what
that
he
has
said.
Nothing to do with why you bring Cota Glover back in and then leave him out there forever.
Would you not have put him back in the bottom of the ninth?
No.
So you would have given him one out in the eighth and that's it and gone somewhere else?
I mean, if we're saving arms, just put in, you know, one of the other terrible guys we have in the bullpen. No, but seriously, I mean, what's so funny is Michael, even though he's 10 years my junior, is so much, like, wiser. And I always think of this as, like, if you win the series, if you win every series throughout the year...
You win
a
and
lot.
And the real loss now is, let's say you have a few great pitching matchups in the next three days. You have Strasburg going against Kershaw.
If he posts.
If he posts.
We've
if
seen
he shows.
That before.
You have Scherzer going tomorrow. And what happens tonight when, you know, you have that maybe one-run lead in the ninth inning?
You can't bring Glover in.
And you have Cota Glover going through his five-pitch arsenal.
Well, let me offer a dissenting opinion, though. At 11-4, can't you say, just go get three outs? You're a professional pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to, like, close anything out. You know, just go get a couple outs. Have a dude hit a fly ball, maybe strike a guy out.
Here is what I received last night from my attorney, Jared Levine, at 7:50 p.m. Nice work by Nat's bullpen, exclamation point.
Yeah. You're going to be getting
he's
that
He's laughing
again.
At me. Yeah. He's laughing at me.
I mean, but lost in this a little bit is Ryan Zimmerman. A great day that
he's hitting 5,000.
It's ridiculous.
16 home runs.
16 home runs.
What happened to him?
And he's not young.
Nope.
Yeah. All right. We have anything else? Do we have anything else to talk about, or are we done?
Nothing else to talk about.
It. I think we're done, because the London stuff... No.
Well, what are you going to say?
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with a jingle and with email. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Arch is moving on up to the gold tees. It's a great benefit. A being 70. Arch is moving on up to the gold teeth. Gonna be the backbone of his team.
Team Coco.
Rain gonna fall in the morning.
Call Mike.
Gonna have to walk, not ride. Arch gonna take a lot of tees in just for five shots aside. But now he's up at the gold tees, gaming the system like a star. No doubt they're gonna rake in tons of shop credit with the 19 under par. Arch is moving on.
Oh, we did great. We got no shop credit.
Gold tees.
Oh, we didn't work out as much as we should. My great thanks to you, Cole of Bethesda, Maryland, who writes, my voice might not be Robert Berg quality, but I've never had so much fun making a complete fool of myself.
You have to hear him in this. It's just terrifically
big finish. All right, here it comes.
For his
is that McCartney?
May the Lord have mercy on him.
You Cole says, piano. I'm also about to start my own podcast, so hopefully one day I'll be big enough to play the room and chatter. And of course you will.
That was great. That's a great
Before we get into the mailbag, let me say thanks to Michael Wilbon for coming on the show today. Also thanks to our sponsors, Omaha Steaks, ZipRecruiter, and Harry's Razors. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We got people from Long Island, one guy from Sag Harbor, I'm very happy to say. Sag Harbor, where Sally Jenkins has a house. Lovely Sag Harbor. Tom and Potomac. Not only does Crystal Liz's YouTube journey not faze me, I've done something similar several times before, having seen you two well over 20 times, I can include. 2011 in Philly, left house in Potomac at 3:30 in the morning with my 8-year-old son, in line at the link by 6 a.m., sat in summer sun in parking lot till 5 p.m., then moved inside stadium. Show finished around 11:30, got home 24 hours after leaving. 2009, Charlotte, North Carolina, caught one-way flight from Dulles to Charlotte after work, cab to show, then drove back to D.C. with total stranger, went straight back to work. Next week, I'm taking two of my kids to see them in Pittsburgh, leaving D.C. early afternoon, plan on getting home around 3 a.m. or so, back at work a few hours later. I would never do this for another band. I will continue to do it for you, too. And Tom writes, I bet Liz Clark has done this for Bruce, and I'll bet she has, too.
I will never do it again.
Yeah, well, it was insane. Marty Hurwicz in South Bend, Indiana. I'm an anesthesiologist here in South Bend. Today, while getting started on a heart surgery, I was introduced to a young medical student who was going to be observing. As usual, I asked the student where he was from, etc. The usual small talk, nothing special. Then I asked him where he went to college. When he answered State University of New York at Binghamton, I exclaimed, that's where Mr. Tony went, and he just got a doctorate. To my amazement, he knew what I was talking about. I gush with pride that I actually met someone who graduated from Binghamton. It was my own David Aldrich moment. Seriously, I've been a loyal little for many years, never, ever missing a podcast. Thank you for all the hours of enjoyment. From Luke McClellan in Nova Scotia in Canada. As a young kid, I had my sports heroes, as many kids do, Roberto Alomar, Dan Marino, Patrick Roy, etc. But for me, in a household where golf was not a prominent interest, Tiger Woods was number one, and the reason I took up the sport. I, like you, have bought into every attempted comeback 100%, clinging to the dream that he will return to form and win more majors. However, seeing that police video was absolutely soul-crushing and feels to me like the moment when Dorothy pulls back the curtain in The Wizard of Oz. I think it may be time that we have to give up the dream and face reality of the flawed, broken human being that is the real Tiger Woods, but I hope not. I'm adding parenthetically, but I hope not. Rhonda Anderson in Fayetteville, Georgia. Can't wait to visit Mr. Tony at Shinebox, I mean Chatter. We're just never getting rid of this. As a graphic designer, may I offer a suggestion? In your next iteration of design, use a little red in your logo, maybe a thin red outline. Red is stimulating and makes you want to eat. Just look at every major restaurant logo. They all have red or a U of red in them, even if it's subtle. It will help your business as well, since chatter is not a word associated with food, and bar and grill or eatery is not on the main sign either. If you don't listen to the show and are just driving down the street, you'd have no idea your place was a food establishment. Not many restaurants have only blue as their color. I wish all the best for you guys. Should we? Why don't we just throw some red up?
Get some magic marker.
Yeah,
or something.
Get
some animal blood.
Gotta have a little who paints, right?
Steve Kayford in Antioch, Illinois. Can you ask Chris a question for me?
I'm ready.
If I were to become a diehard Saliza fan and defend him to all ends on all social media, including the Andy Poley board, can he get me an autographed picture of my CNN girlfriend, Kate Baldwin?
Kate Baldwin. Yeah, Baldwin. I can.
If it helps sweeten the deal, I'll also agree to buy some Harry's Aprons or some MeUndies O's cereal. I think that's very funny. He said, I'll even start watching soccer.
That'd be a tireless gig.
Yeah, it'd be impossible.
Ted, who was left behind in Richmond, writes, so my wife is on an adventure trip in Morocco last week, and one of her fellow travelers is explaining jumping the shark. My wife, suffering through my listening habits through the mid-90s, since the mid-90s, asked the guy, do you listen to the Tony Kornheiser Show too? Mr. Howard Flaxman says, I grew up with Tony. Could this be true, Dr. Tony? Does he know you've been promoted to doctor? Little's meeting friends in the middle of the Sahara, the connective tissue of the show. Howard Flaxman went to Harper College.
There you go.
So I know him. I know him. He had a younger brother who went there too.
Boom.
From Stacy John. My brother and sister-in-law, longtime Laura Littles, turned me on to the show over a year ago. I'm eternally grateful. For my birthday this year, they showered me with TK merchandise, shirt, tumbler, mug, stickers. They recently purchased a new vehicle and are now a Prius and Subaru family. I think they should be mocked mercilessly. Your thoughts? No need to mention their names. They know who they are. And I warned them that I would write in when they were contemplating said Subaru purchase. So I would implore all of the Littles in Metro Atlanta, when you see the Prius and or Subaru with TK sticker, be sure to give them the salute. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Don't do it, Tony.
I wake up and wipe my eyes. I gotta get up, I don't know why. I don't wanna leave you now, but I'm giving it all for you, my baby. Coffee black and egg on toast. Why choose that? God only knows. This boss is chewing my tail, but I'm giving it all, giving it all for you. It's gonna be a beautiful day with you. Yeah, I know it's gonna be a beautiful day with you. Yeah, I know it's gonna be a beautiful day. Yeah, I know it's gonna be a beautiful day. A beautiful day, beautiful day. It's gonna be a beautiful day with you. My mama ain't here and I'm alone. This life can't keep you down, but I'm giving it all for you, my baby. Running and running and running around. Nothing can ever keep me down. Your smile is all I got, and I'm giving it all, I'm giving it all for you. It's gonna be a beautiful day with you. Yeah, I know it's gonna be a beautiful day with you. Yeah, I know it's gonna be a beautiful day, a beautiful day, beautiful day. It's gonna be a beautiful day with now, but I'm giving it all for you, my baby, cause I'm running and running and running around. Nothing can ever keep me down. Your smile is all I got, and I'm giving it all, giving it all for you. Give it, it all. It's gonna be a beautiful day with you. Yeah, I know it's gonna be a beautiful day with you. Beautiful day.
just what to do. And sometimes I regret those choices that I didn't make. Justice coming past it. Sometimes I regret giving you that mixtape. Trouble and it's found in silver. But if that's gone, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. Gone when the past comes and leaves with us. If I saw you again, would you know my name? Would you know my name? Remember you in the basement of your parents' house. Remember you with your sunglasses on. Remember you hanging out at the theater. I looked for you but then you were gone. Remember you in your Burger King uniform. Remember you in your punk rock hairdo. Lot. Never knowing just what to do. And sometimes I regret those choices that I didn't make. Choices come and fever now. And sometimes I regret giving you that mixtape. Joy when it's found and it's gone for once. But that's gone, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. Gone when comes with us. If I saw you again, would you know my name? Would you know my name? Choices that I didn't make. Choices come when I passed it out. And sometimes I regret giving you that mixtape. Joy when it's found, come gone for once. But that's gone, I wouldn't trade my life for anything. Gone when the past comes and meets with us. If I saw you again, would you know my name? Would you know my name?